It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
You asked for it, you got it. Access the Rose Chat Podcast app from your iPhone or Android device. Find instructions at rosechatpodcast.com.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Our guest this evening is Marcy Martin. Many of you know Marcy from her popular podcast on Planner's Place Radio. Now, Marcy's on a mission to enrich the lives of others through roses. We can't wait to get this conversation started. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Welcome back to Rose Chat Podcast, sponsored by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners and SW Greenhouse.
Well, it's time to talk roses. Welcome to Rose Chat, Marcy.
Oh, thanks, Teresa. It's great to be back. It's great to talk to you guys.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this. Marcy, we want our listeners to get the feel of what things are like in your garden. So first off, tell us where you garden.
I live in Windsor, Connecticut, which is about 3 miles north of the capital city of Hartford. And Windsor is Connecticut's oldest town. It was settled in 1633. And actually, at the time, Adrian Block was in Hartford, and he later on went down to New York City to settle that area. And the local Indians didn't like the Dutch people, so they sent runners to Plymouth Plantation to ask if they would like to send some folks out here to Windsor to set up like a trading post and stuff like that. And they thought maybe the Dutch people, the settlers wouldn't like the Dutch and vice versa. And actually that kind of sort of happened. Some of the pilgrims came from Plymouth and settled where the Farmington River converges with the Connecticut River. And they set up their trading post and a church and a tavern with rooms to let. And as such became the first English-speaking town in the state of Connecticut.
Oh, so, rich, rich history.
Yeah, it's okay, really good. And the Dutch decided that they didn't like the Indians and that they didn't like these English settlers, and they took off and went to New York. So it was good for us.
Well, you've been waiting a long time for springtime. So what's it like in Connecticut in springtime?
Well, it's interesting. Now that we're in the midst of this climate change, the last couple of winters, this winter and the previous winter, have been very, very, very cold, much colder than normal. And the 10 years before that, I was in bloom by the middle of May. So this year it's going to be more like the middle of June. And, you know, I've kind of been watching the way winter has been hitting all the way around the world. People say, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, look how cold it was this winter. This isn't global warming. But part of it, I mean, it's much more than global warming, this whole climate change thing. We've all got to learn to be really flexible in our gardens. And one thing that I always tell everyone when I go out and talk roses is you can never garden by the calendar. You have to garden by what your plants are telling you, and they are speaking to you. So last year and this year, spring has been very, very slow in coming. We had one 80-degree day, and poof, the forsythia bloomed overnight. And that's usually our bellwether for starting to prune. And I actually went out and got started a little bit earlier than that this year because I just couldn't wait any longer. But normally I'm all pruned out by now, but I'm still working at it. And over the last couple of weeks, things have broken dormancy and they're just starting to grow. But then the weather gets cold again, and so everything just kind of stops. And I guess the Great Lakes are frozen again this year like they were last year. And our prevailing winds for fair weather come out of the northwest, so we're right in that wind pattern that's been keeping us pretty chilly.
How many roses are you taking care of in your garden?
Oh, I have 200 plus. I don't know exactly how many anymore. I used to tell people there were about 150 until my husband Bob told me, it's okay, hon, I know there's more than 200. You can tell him the truth.
Oh, my goodness. We have the same conversation here all the time. I say,
all the time.
Oh, about 150. I counted them yesterday. Mr. D doesn't even know this yet, but I counted them yesterday. So now I know how many are out there.
Oh, yeah?
Guess
how many
what?
You got?
Mr. G was correct. There are more than 200. So I've got to give the boy credit.
Well, that's what
I'm
happened.
I'm not going to say how many more, but he's right. There are more than 200.
Well, that's a very nice round number.
We're just going to hang right there.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know how all that happened.
So what do you call that, Teresa? Like 200-ish?
200-ish. Oh, that's very good.
Marcy, I think that we can do this. We can do this 200-ish thing.
Yeah, it works for me too, Teresa. It works for me too. And, you know, that's what happens with, I mean, the reason that we're Rosarians is because we desperately love roses, and there's always new ones coming out. And, you know, when you first get started in your rose garden, you probably put them 2 to 3 feet apart, and, you know, the hybrid teas in the back and the floribundas in the front and the minis in the mini floras. And then something new comes out, and I bet I could squeak something into that spot. And I bet I could squeak something into that spot. And what the heck, they all grow well together, and there's nothing more beautiful than a whole rose where they all grow into each other and the colors blend and it's all beautiful.
Well,
it's all beautiful.
Very true. I like the way you think. No wonder we're such good friends.
Well, now, Teresa, I'm getting a message from Mr. Greg that's telling me that you've got over 250 roses.
No, that's extreme talk there. Now, I'm not saying how it's going to be by September, but we aren't there yet. We're somewhere between 200 and 250.
Oh, boy. You know, I have a little funny story to tell you about these colder springs than we're used to. My daughter called me up last week, and Jen doesn't grow roses. She likes to grow annual flowers. She's crazy about cosmos and larkspur and stuff like that, and they grow along the side of her house, and they're really pretty, and she gets so much pleasure out of watching these seeds come up. And she called me up last week, and she goes, Mom, there's a miracle happening. And I said, well, miracles happen every day. What kind of miracles happening at your house? And she said, there's not one weed in my garden. She said, usually by this time of year, I have weeds all over the place, and I'm out there pulling them all out of there. And I'm like, oh, honey, I said, the ground's too cold for the weed seeds to sprout yet. And she went, oh.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Yeah.
Now, Marcy, you mentioned a minute ago. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, sweetie.
Well, you mentioned a minute ago about all the new roses coming out, and you just have to have them. Now, I heard through the grapevine that you have a story about a new rose.
Do have a story about a new rose, and it's a really, really, really sweet story, and I'm going to have to write about it in my blog, which I haven't done yet, and maybe write something for American Rose also. But this story starts back about 6 years ago in the spring, early spring of 2007, and at the time my regular job was working at Woodland Gardens Garden Center, which has been my garden center for gosh, practically my whole life, and I am the rosarian. I've been the rosarian there since 2002, and I do about 1,000 roses a year there, and my speaking schedule in present time has gotten really busy, so I'm all over the place talking to garden clubs and libraries mm-hmm. and anyone who wants to listen about how wonderful roses are. But I still go and I still prune out all the 1,000 roses in the spring. I'm almost finished. But this was back in 2007, and it was a cool April day, and I was pruning away, and it was overcast outside. And all of a sudden, I heard someone say hello, and I looked up, and there was a really beautiful woman who came walking into the rose house, and she was looking around, and of course roses aren't much to look at when they're in a pot and they're just pokey sticks sitting there, and people can, you know, they look at them and they're like, those are going to grow roses. And that's part of the miracle. So anyway, she walked in and she said hello, and she said, do you have a rose named Marion? And I said, no, I don't have a rose named Marion. And she said, is there a rose named Marion? And I said, you know, there might be. I said, I think there's maybe some old garden roses that may be named Marion, but nothing that I can think of that's a more modern rose. I said, why? What's going on? And she said, well, she said, my mom has always loved roses, and my father has always grown roses for my mom so that she can go out and cut them and bring them in for the table. And she said, I lost my mom last week. And mm-hmm. she said, I have never grown roses before, and she said, I've decided I want to put in a rose garden for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have no idea how to do this. We spent the whole morning together. I think I started at 8 o'clock. I think she got there at 9. She didn't leave till 1 o'clock. And when she left, she got roses 101. She had everything she needed mm-hmm. to start a beautiful rose garden and a van full of roses to take home. And she mm-hmm. cried all over my shoulder that morning. And she gave me all mm-hmm. these memories that she had. And, you know, she was just one of these special people. Her name is Gail. And she just stuck in my head. She just stuck in my head. And I said I would try to find a rose for her named Marion. And I got a hold of everyone I knew. And somebody said there's an old rambler, but that wasn't going to fit her application. And a couple of years went by. My friend Donna Fuss passed away at Elizabeth Park. And I was asked to come and be the rosarian curator there. And when I did that, I had to have a computer, and I always swore I'd never have a computer in my house, but I needed to write reports and stuff. And I still had Gail in my head. I was still thinking about her and how special she was and what she was doing in memory of her mom. And one day I sat down at the computer, and I wrote an email to David Austin, UK. And mm-hmm. I introduced myself, and I said I had recently come on as rosarian at America's oldest municipal rose garden, and that I had been in the rose industry for quite some time, and that I had a very, very special customer that built a rose garden for her mom who had just passed away and was looking for a rose that was named for her mother. And I said, I wasn't sure if maybe you might have something out in your shed that didn't have a name yet this year. And wouldn't it be interesting to start like a Sherwood Forest series, like Robin Hood and Friar Tuck and Maid Marian? And I said, just a thought, but her mom's name was Marion, and it would be a lovely thing if we could get a rose for her. Well, I got a lovely email back from Michael Marriott, whom I know you guys know is their head rosarian there out in the UK, and it was just a great email. He wrote back. He says, unfortunately, everything we've got already has a name this year, and I would have to check patent law and whatever, but it's so lovely to hear from you. And he said, have a lovely summer and ta-ta, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. The following spring, right around Valentine's Day, so by this point, where are we at? 2010, spring of 2010, Michael wrote me back, and he said, just to let you know that Maid Marian is being introduced at Chelsea in May. And Maid Marian was introduced at Chelsea in May. They made a big, huge deal out of it. He sent me these beautiful pictures. There was a lovely young lady that was all dressed up like Maid Marian, actually holding the rose in her hands, and another really handsome young gentleman dressed up like Robin Hood. And he sent me pictures of the rose. Well, I got so excited, I could hardly contain myself. He said it would be a couple of years because of quarantine, and then we'd be able to have this rose. And I'm like, Michael, I think I love you. And ever since, we write back and forth ever since. He's just a really super fellow. So I'm like, oh, my God, I never found out what Gail's last name was. You know, she's been on my mind these last couple of years. So I called Carrie at Woodland Gardens. She does all the computer stuff and everything. And I said, we've got to get in touch with this girl, Gail, that I said, I have some very exciting news for her. And is there any way that you could send out a mass email to everybody named Gail and say, if you talk to Marcy about a particular rose, please email her? And Carrie says, sure, I can do that. So within a half hour, I got an email from Gail Sawamura, and she said, Marcy, what's happening? And I told her, and she was absolutely thrilled. So since then, we thought we'd have the rose in 2012, and I got the 2012 David Austin catalog, and there's no rose in there. And so I emailed Michael again, and I'm like, what happened? And he said, oh, there was a problem with the budding, and they didn't get in touch with me. Well, long story short, we had a long wait, but Maid Marian is being introduced in the United States this spring. She's one of the new roses. She's kind of in limited supply still, but this rose is a lovely, lovely, fragrant rose. She stays small for a David Austin rose. She goes 2.5 by 2.5 feet. The blossoms are a deep rosy pink. And David Austin and Michael Marriott sent me a Maid Marian rose, sent a rose for Gail, and we are growing the rose for Gail, and I'm going to present it to her at Connecticut Rose Society's June meeting, which we are holding at Woodland Gardens, because I thought I should present her where the whole story started. And she's thrilled, I'm thrilled, and it's just a really sweet story.
Oh, Marcy, that people in roses, that's what it's about.
It is what it's all about.
I am so glad you took the time. Thank you for taking the time to make something like this happen. You know, it takes that spirit in someone that is willing to go the extra mile to make special things happen, and you did that for her. This is going to be such a special, special time. I wish I could be there to see this happen, but enjoy
it.
Please take pictures and share with us.
Yes, we will take pictures and She is just so happy, and the Hartford Courant came over and interviewed me last Thursday, and they're going to talk to Gail also. So it's just, especially in this day and age when, you know, there's problems with police and young people and wars and terrorism and stuff like that, you don't see enough really good human interest stories just to make you smile and tweak your heart. And this is a really good one, I think.
Oh, it's a very, very good one. And I don't know how we're going to top that, but I do want to know. We wait all winter, and I know there's so many roses in your garden that you absolutely love, because I'm the same way. But share with us a couple of the roses that you just can't wait to see bloom.
Oh, gosh. Did I ever tell you guys about the rose I rescued from Old North Cemetery in Hartford?
No, but tell us.
Okay, that's one of the ones that I can't wait to see bloom. She's an old garden rose. And when I was rosarian at the park, Bob and I went over there. There's a whole big, long story that goes along with this, but well, maybe next time we chat, I'll tell you the whole thing.
We'll talk about that one the next time.
Yeah, but I was given control of this particular rose, and so I have propagated it all over the place. We couldn't figure out what it was. I put it on Help Me Find. I sent pictures all over the place. It's beautiful. It's an old Gallica rose. It's about the size of a small Macintosh apple. It's got about
a bloom?
Nope, it's a one-time bloomer. It's got about a gazillion petals. It's got a heavy, heavy, heavy fragrance. It's got lime green foliage that is almost sticky when you touch it, and you can smell it on your fingers. I didn't know what it was, so I started calling it the Old North Cemetery Rose. And then I heard from a friend who is a rose rustler. He's also a minister, and he lives, I think, in North Carolina. And he and his rose buddies go to old cemeteries, and they take cuttings and suckers from old roses, try to identify them. And he saw my picture, and he said, "I think it's Prolifera de Redoutée." And I said, "Well, Eric," I said, "I have never seen this rose proliferate, but it's only been in my garden for 2 years, and it's the first year that it's blooming, so I decided I'd keep an eyeball on it." The next year, it was all finished blooming, and I went to hang my laundry out on the clothesline, and I looked over, and it was blooming again. It had proliferated over the entire rose. And for your listeners, if they don't know what proliferation is, it's when a bud comes right out of the center of where the rose blossom was, and it usually starts before the blossom falls, so that it's a second blooming, a smaller, somewhat distorted bud, but it does bloom again. So We've decided it is Prolifera de Redoutée, and she's from, I think, 1730. So she's beautiful old garden rose, so I'm waiting to see that one. We had a really rough winter, so this spring I've had to do a lot of restorative pruning out there. I took my Austin's way down. I took my Daydream way down. But, you know, you need to do that every few years anyway. And one of my other favorite roses that I can't wait to see bloom is Flutterby. Do you have that in your garden?
I don't have that. Chris, do you have it? I don't have that one.
No, we don't grow that either. I've seen wonderful pictures of it.
Oh, she is just beautiful.
I think the only pictures I've seen are yours, Marcy.
Yeah, well, I've posted lots of pictures of Flutterby. I love to put pictures on in the wintertime just so that it makes people feel happy. Yeah.
Oh, and we just don't forget how beautiful they are.
Yes, yes. And Colette, I can't wait to see Colette bloom. She is the most fabulous climber. She's so, so pretty. And Gertrude and Heathcliff.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gertrude Stiegel and Heathcliff share a garden, and that's kind of a joke for people that are my age who watched Red Skelton when they were kids, and he used to do a seagull bit with Gertrude and Heathcliff, the two seagulls. And so that's the Gertrude and Heathcliff garden, and everything. I just can't wait to see everything. I can't wait to see First Kiss again. I can't wait to see Heirloom again. I can't wait to smell Sharifa Ozma. Oh, boy, I'm getting all wound up now.
Oh, it doesn't take much. I'll be up all night thinking about mine.
Yeah,
Marcy, last season you recommended Falling in Love to me, and you said, oh, be careful, she's tender. Well, I just planted one. I can't believe I just planted one. I hope to find another. It was absolutely exquisite. I absolutely love that rose. And I want you to know, she, even in our very hard winter this winter, she did very well. I mounted her up with some mulch, but she did very well. She's coming back strong, and I'm looking for another one.
Oh, that's awesome. I have a couple of them, too, and I love the form of that rose, and I love the size of the rose. I love the fragrance of the rose. Mm-hmm. And her parents are her parents are Marilyn Monroe and Moonstone.
Yes, that's right.
And
yes,
neither one of those roses is fragrant, but she's got the most lovely fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, when I saw
beautiful.
The parentage, I thought she has to be beautiful, and boy, is she. She's pretty.
Oh, yeah. She's a showstopper, isn't she?
So I
got some new roses this year, and we have been working in our dining room since, Chris, when I saw you in March, we were working on our dining room then. We stripped off all the woodwork in there and stripped off the wallpaper. Bob is now building wainscoting, so we have to hurry up now and get that all painted and stuff. And Plow and Hearth had a gorgeous wrought iron arbor on sale for $239, I think. It's like 5 feet wide for you to walk underneath, and it's got an overlapping ladder type top on it and really pretty scroll work on the sides. And I'm like, oh, I said, we need to extend the overlook garden out over that. My garden, my backyard is like tiers that goes down for almost an acre downhill. So I said, we need to extend the overlook garden and then put up this arbor and then extend it on the other side. So of course I had to get some more roses, and I've discovered in our climate, if you soak your roses for a few days in your 5 gallon joint compound bucket, and then I pot them up for 3 months and cook them on either black landscape fabric or on the driveway. And so by the time you put that rose in the ground, it's twice as big as it would be if you put it right in the cold ground. And they're off to a better start. So I'm cooking my new roses. And it works really great, and they grow a lot faster.
I've never heard that term before with roses.
Yeah, they grow. They grow a lot faster in a 3 gallon pot than they do in the ground because the soil is still really, really cold. So especially here. So if you put them in a container in a dark pot on either your black top or black landscape fabric, and just stick it out there in the sun, the soil in the pot warms up really quickly. It forces all those roots to grow like crazy, and it pushes out all this marvelous top growth. So they're cooking because I have to wait for Bob to finish in the dining room before he can rototill that area for me. So.
It's spring. It's spring. Yeah. You've got to get outside.
Yeah, so, you need to assess your priorities here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, Chris, what's new with you?
Well, we're blooming like crazy this week in our garden. You mentioned Colette, climbing Colette. We have three shrubs of that. It has gone wild. We just couldn't be more thrilled with it. Now when I walk into my back gate in the afternoons coming home from work, I smell that rose immediately. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah.
It is.
My Colette is outside my dining room window, and the breeze just wafts her right into the house. And matter of fact, I took a picture of that one time right out my dining room window with the lace curtains framing her beautifulness right outside the window. Oh, she's just a gorgeous rose, isn't she?
Oh, I'm going to have to start my count again.
Oh, yeah. you need Colette.
I'm going to be over 200-esque.
Pretty soon it'll be 250-ish.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Well, Marcy, our time is running out, but we have so enjoyed. You are delightful. You are inspiring. And we thank you so much for allowing us to take up your evening.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I send you all my love. And I hope we can get together sometime.
That would be lovely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for everything. And we'll talk soon. And I'll see you on Facebook.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Find and follow Marcy Martin on Facebook and listen to her popular podcast on Planner's Place Radio. Now, we're placing a link to her podcast on our show page for tonight's broadcast. My favorite podcast of hers is Murder in the Rose Garden. It's something you've got to hear. Now, friends, we're out of time for this edition of the Rose Chat podcast. We wish you a happy evening and happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.